I'm Jay Moran.
I'm Bridget Jaipal Valenza.
I'm Thomas O'Neill White.
We need to get together and let our voices be heard.
This is What's Next. A dedicated hour to have important conversations about the issues facing the marginalized and underrepresented communities of Western New York and Southern Ontario.
If we're going to have some real healing, we've got to have space to tell some uncomfortable truth.
What's Next continues our mission to discuss race,
equity,
and the common concerns of Buffalo's East Side and beyond.
In the suburban area, everywhere, we must work and teach our children.
Welcome to What's Next. On this program, we have talked about a lot of different efforts to address the many needs of our community. Today, we take a look at unique, at least to Western New York, Work Life Solutions. It's a program that is run by the United Way of Buffalo and Erie County, but it was initially sponsored by Evans Bank. With us today, we have Trina Burris, President and CEO of United Way of Buffalo and Erie County. Trina, hi.
Hello. How are you, Jay?
Great. Thank you very much. And a familiar name here at Buffalo Toronto Public Media, Kathy Rizzo-Young, who is the Community and Public Relations Director for Evans Bank. Hi.
Hello. Good to be back.
Great to have you back. And we have a lot to talk about this. Work-life solutions. Who wants to take it first? Just break it down. What exactly are we talking about here? Because there's a lot inside this program, but just a general overview to start.
Sure. So what I'll say, Jay, is that when you think about workforce development, people largely think about either training a person for a job or helping them find a job and placing them in a job. But the piece of workforce development that's often forgotten is how do you help the person keep the job? And so Work Life Solutions is the United Way workforce development program that helps folks keep the job. And frankly, you know, wherever you are in your employment journey, it's also a place where as you are living life, there's some help there for you to balance work and life. Ergo Work-Life Solutions.
Yeah, and you know, it's interesting because when we talk about the United Way, we're always thinking about the ways that organization has, in legendary fashion, helped community members in a lot of different aspects. So you're bringing that resource into the workplace for these companies that are participating in this?
Sure. So when you think about United Way, we really have a unique Rolodex, right? Because of the things that we do, the ways that we do it. So we have access to a lot of information, whether or not it's local information or whether or not it's national information. We just know things, right? And so a program like Work Life Solutions, there is no nonprofit that's better situated to use its natural resources, if you will, to help members of the community, which is ultimately our goal.
And speaking of resources, this program, Work Life Solutions, was utilized by a couple of other United Way agencies, if I'm not mistaken, beyond Buffalo and Erie County. And that's basically how it came to be here.
Yes, because, you know, locally at United Way's across the country, but certainly here at our local United Way, we are always looking for opportunities and best practices that we're seeing across our worldwide network. And we are always asking ourselves, would this be good for our community? Should we bring it here? And very often the answer is yes, but it has to sit on the shelf until we can figure out the resources, the staffing, and all of this. But, you know, because we always want to be on the ready, we're always thinking, and that's always sitting on the shelf. And that's been United Way's history long before I came. So 5 years ago, 6 years ago or so, Work-Life Solutions was sitting on the shelf waiting.
And our CEO at Evans Bank, Dave Naska, we had gotten an unexpected tax break 6 years ago. And he said, this is an opportunity for us as a community bank, you know, relatively small organization, to make a big impact. And so he went around and met with many, many community leaders from the philanthropy world, from nonprofits, from agencies to say, is there a program that we need here that we don't have?
Okay.
And nobody really had a good answer until he got to New United Way. And they said, yes, we have have this wonderful workforce program, Financial Wellness at Work is what the program are called around the country. And they said we wanted to do it for a long time. And so we went to Ohio and looked at the program there. And there was a conference taking place where a lot of different United Ways from across the country were there to start their own programs. And we immediately said, this is a great fit. And so we've been involved ever since, very, very deeply involved in the program and really in a partnership with United Way that's been tremendously gratifying.
And there's a lot of elements to this, and we don't want to underestimate or undervalue Evans Bank, what, a $600,000 investment in this program?
Yeah, over the last 5 years, six years since we started, it's been that amount of money. And then, you know, the great thing is, though, that the financial investment is only one piece, right? We have a whole team of people working on making loans to Work-Life Solutions program participants. And we're also a participating employer, right?
Okay.
Dave said, well, if we're going to do this, we need to, like, eat our own cooking. We need to make sure right. It works. Why would we have United Way provide it and not provide for our own folks, you know, that we care about. So we have lots of different tentacles. We also assist with the financial education, so we're providing that. So there's just all these different ways that our two organizations mesh on this, and it's really been a terrific experience, and I think to the benefit of the program participants.
And Trina, you bring a certain level of expertise in this because you come out of the banking industry to your work at the United Way. So you have an understanding of how the branch works in terms of how it works with the community, but also the realities of those people that are working inside those organizations as well. And, you know, looking over what they're involved in, I mean, you've kind of gained some perspective, I guess, on what your employees were dealing with, perhaps, when you were managing one of those bank branches for Northwest.
Yeah. There was a time when, you know, 3 years ago, I was embarrassed to say this, but now it's just the reality of it. And I've accepted it, right?
Okay.
That during the course of my time of working in the bank, you know, 30 years, right? There were hundreds of people that probably worked for me over the course of time, some of them more successfully than others. And I believed in the importance of family and balancing work. I wanted my employees to be there for their children and that sort of thing. But once I came to work at United Way and I started working on this program, I started to think about all those folks who had not successfully worked for me and had thought about how oblivious I may have been to what was going on in their lives that was coming into work. I wasn't giving it any consideration. I really wasn't. I was focused on the needs of the bank and also what I thought the needs of an employee outside of work.
Right.
And that's the thing about anybody's workplace. No matter how good your workplace is, no matter how family oriented it is, no matter what the benefits you have in place, you know, for employees, slush funds and all the emergency funds, all these things, you know, that you have, you cannot account for the fact that at the end of the day, your HR department is there to deal with the aftermath of an employee's problems, right? They're set up to deal with tardiness, absenteeism, lack of production, all these things, right? Because it's all oriented for the employer, despite the fact that the employer cares about the employees. Work-Life Solutions is the bookend to that. Work-Life Solutions says, well, before you have to have tardiness and before you have to have absenteeism, let's come to me, the United Way employee, and tell me what might be wrong. And then let us help you either with the resource of the loan or the resource of the access to information. So at United Way, when folks hear us talk about equity, that we are talking about access to information. Access to information is the equalizer, right? And
right.
So that's what the resource coordinator is. There's over 7,000 registered nonprofits in our community. And despite the fact that we are often at the top of the wrong list, we are a rich community in terms of resources and programs and other things who can help. And so United Way knows a lot of those resources, and that individual United Way employee, the resource coordinator, can help provide information to the employee.
And before,
so the way, the program is set up with this resource coordinator,
right,
who's assigned to the employer, and that's the resource. That person becomes like a de facto member of their team.
All right.
Everybody knows them in the company. You might have their phone number in your phone. You might be able to text them, whatever it is. But
how often would they be at a company?
Weekly?
Weekly?
Yeah, okay. Depends. And the
but
nice
they're
thing,
always available by
they're
phone.
They're always okay. available. All so right. Yeah, and the great thing about it is you now have an answer to the question to say, if you're having trouble at work, go to HR. But if you're having trouble outside of work that's impeding your ability to persist in the workplace, to do your job, to focus, and maybe it's not about you, maybe it's about somebody in your family,
right,
you can go see the Work-Life Solutions Resource Coordinator, and they are going to help you. And that's a huge safety net, you know, in the workplace.
And what I was going to ask, and you got into a little more of the specifics of the program, but you know, when we talk about some of the issues that employers are having keeping employees, it seems like the general thought is, well, they're not paying enough, there's not job satisfaction. But what it seems to me that this program is addressing and highlighting is the fact that there's a lot of other things that go on where people are, they're dealing with, you know, an existential questions, for lack of a better term, in their lives. You know, whether it's, you know, let's talk about what are some of those issues that we're seeing with some of these employees that are finding their way into Work-Life Solutions.
Yeah, the list is unfortunately long, Jay, but it's diverse. Mm-hmm. I mean, it goes from, you know, there was an individual whose spouse was a diabetic and they had all these used needles and needed to know how to,
okay,
like where to discard them, right?
Sure.
So it's all the way from that to gambling issues, to housing instability, help with eviction court, utilities, car repairs, mental health.
Addicted family members.
Yeah.
Putting parents in nursing homes who need more help.
Ooh, yes.
Trying to find resources for, you know, a family member who's ill. And as Trina said, the list is so long. And that is democratic. It appeals to everybody. It doesn't
right.
matter if you're the CEO of that company or if you're, you know, an entry-level person. It's everybody has these issues. And everybody, you know, you said people leave jobs they love every day because of these things.
Right.
That was the wake-up call for all of us.
That's an interesting way of putting it, right?
They leave jobs every
right.
day that they
because
love.
Because what we've been hearing about is people leaving jobs because they hate it.
Correct. Right. That's right. And
right.
they love their job and they want to continue, they need the income, they want to continue going to work, but these other things just overwhelm them.
That's really interesting to hear how that goes. And we somewhat anecdotally touched upon this beforehand, but you did mention gambling, Trina. Mm-hmm. That's something starting the show, maybe showing up as more of a prevalent issue in some of these workplaces?
Well, I can tell you, I mean, I haven't managed a branch in probably 10 years or so. And we were already seeing it then, you know, 10, 15 years ago,
right.
where we were seeing customers begin to struggle. And that's only become a bigger issue, you know, with technology and folks' ability to gamble, not just going to a casino, but going, you know, online or something, you know. And so there's going to be issues, right? And it's not just about the gambling addiction itself. It's about the effect it has on the family. So that's really something that's important about Work-Life Solutions is that it isn't just the employee.
Yes.
It's the family members as well of those employees that are also eligible for the resource coordinator and the financial education piece of the program. You know, so if you think about, if any of us think about, so this is not about whether or not you're an entry-level employee or whether or not you're the CEO. If someone in my family has an issue, my mom has an issue, one of my daughters has an issue, it is going to affect me at work. It has nothing to do with whether or not I love being a CEO or how much money I make. It has nothing to do with that. Mm-hmm. It is simply about the fact that I am living and I have people I care about, but I have a job and I have responsibilities there as well. So there has to be a balance somewhere, somehow. There has to be, you know, assistance for folks. And sometimes, Jay, I think it even just boils down to you can't tell your family members everything, right? They're going to worry about you differently. And that's another burden. So having a professional that is showing empathy, but also has solutions or suggestions, mm-hmm. that's powerful. It helps you to know that it's not as bad as it actually may seem, or right. maybe it is. But there's a solution.
I think one of the things that we found that's been really exciting as we started to gather data for the program over the years is the intersection between this program and the ALICE population that United Way is so focused on, right? Mm-hmm. So that even though the program helps everybody across the spectrum, you think about people in that category, and I'll let Trina talk about ALICE, but I think you think about people that have maybe no family support here. Maybe we have the kind of new Americans population. We have, you know, Buffalo is kind of such a wonderful melting pot. We have people who don't have a safety net or a support network. Right. So when they start a job, you know, what are the resources they have? So we've been really happy to see as we help people that it's really been the people who are the neediest in some respects with this program.
ALICE population?
So ALICE, it's an acronym. It stands for Asset Limited, Income Constrained, Employed.
Okay.
Right. And so these are folks who in our county, the data says it's 40% of our community.
Wow.
So the ALICE population are individuals, workers. So that's important. Workers who have jobs that are critically important. We would even call them good jobs. Mm-hmm. People would describe some of these jobs as good jobs. However, these individuals do not have enough money to not need the governmental safety nets, but because of the federal poverty line, they make too much money, mm-hmm. right, to receive the safety nets that they may need. And so you think about food insecurity, you think about housing instability, transportation needs. There are all kinds of safety nets out there, but these folks are making too much money to receive them. And so a program like Work-Life Solutions, despite the fact anybody could use it, it's most helpful mm-hmm. to that population because they may not believe that they have any access
okay.
to a system
right.
where they could
receive some help. That's what you're finding? Your resource counselors are finding
yes.
that?
Yes. Oh, absolutely. 1,000%. Mm-hmm. There's a employee at United Way who once told me if it weren't for Work-Life Solutions, they would have to take a family leave. And I said, for what?
Mm.
Because they need to take care of an ailing parent.
Right.
Think about that.
Right.
A person yeah. at United Way, right? This person has, you would easily say, couldn't be understated, how much access to information a United Way employee has. And yet, because we are also a Work-Life Solutions employer, right? We provide it as a benefit. It's Work-Life Solutions right. that helped that person to know that there was assistance out there, despite how much, you know, how many resources or whatever assets, you know, she or her parents had.
I was going to say, that we have the resource coordinator, we have the financial education, and then the third component of the program is a $1,000 loan,
right?
And what's interesting about that loan is that people can get access to it within 48 hours, sometimes 24. Our team is really, really good.
$1,000 loan within 24 to 48 hours.
So they have to be at the company or their employer for a year. But okay. after that, no questions asked. Nobody says, what do you need it for? We want to know that for our own research mm-hmm. and for our data. But there's not a checklist or you're not getting approved for something. You come in and you have that money. And that $1,000 loan we've made over 725 of those loans in the last 5 years to people working for these companies and nonprofits. And the great thing about this is that it not only helps them in the immediate need, because we knew that, right? We knew somebody said, you know, it can be anything from, you know, uncovered medical expenses or the eviction, or I have to make a mortgage payment, I'm short, or something like that, whatever it is. And car is a big one. Car repairs are always huge. But what we found over time was when you've taken out a Work-Life Solutions loan and after it's paid back, Jay, through payroll deduction by your employer.
Okay.
So the great thing about that when you think about it is we know we're going to be paid back, right? So there's no collateral. So that gives the employee who borrows that money every month that's being paid back, $100 a month. And every month on their credit report, they're getting an on-time credit payment, right? That's helping their credit score. In some cases, it's helping them establish credit because some of these
sure.
folks don't have
oh,
any
yeah.
credit. So that's a huge piece too, but they're getting credit. They're getting improved credit. So over time, they see the impact of their credit score going up and up and up. And that was an eye-opener to us when we did the research to say we had people who had taken out successive Work-Life Solutions loan whose credit scores had increased 150 points.
Wow.
That's life-changing, right?
That's for sure.
Life-changing.
Right.
That means I can become a homeowner. I can, you know, all these different things that, you know, we have people who, you know, had never been in a bank branch before they come in to get their $1,000. They had never, because their impression was, to, as Trina just said, kind of, I don't have enough money that a bank would be interested in me, or that I'm bankable, or that they would want me. And it's like they get to come in, they get this warm greeting, they get their $1,000, and it's like, what else do you need? What else is going on in your life? Are there other ways we can help you? And suddenly, folks have a bank. They have a banker. They have people who know them by name when they come in. That's really can also be a huge part of this generational wealth building and people feeling like I'm part of the mainstream. And as bankers, like, you know, that's really exciting to us.
You know, it's interesting because when I was getting ready for this, I did see a quote in the Buffalo News, give them credit for this, from you, Trina. You're never going to get generational wealth if you don't have a relationship with the bank. That's a big thing to say right there. But
that's a fact. Yeah. That's a fact. I mean, your banker and folks who are part of the traditional banking system, again, here's that word, access. Mm-hmm. You have access to information. You have access to capital and access to how things work. Folks very often do not walk inside of a bank and say, I am looking for, and name the bank product. They're coming in and they're saying, I need to send my kid to college. I need to repair my car. I need to do whatever it is, right? And then the banker matches what the customer has said to what the product is that we have to solve it. But again, you have to feel like coming into the branch is for you. If you've never inside the branch, or if you've never been inside of the traditional banking system. And
some neighborhoods don't have bank branches.
That's certainly a fact. You know, and some bank branches, frankly, are intimidating. You know, we used to work for HSBC together. And, you know,
well,
I think of some of the big, you know, some of the big branches with all the marble and the, you know, and, you know, despite the fact that people were kind and great bankers, the buildings themselves were intimidating. But here's the thing that folks are most intimidated by.
Okay.
The bank. Nobody likes to be told no.
Sure.
And what is the number one reason a bank tells you no? Very often, it's about your credit score. And so, again, if there's going to be equity, there has to be access. There's going to be access. You need information. But you also need barriers to be removed. Mm-hmm. And so inside of this program and because of this partnership with Evans Bank, that number one reason that would have prevented someone from getting a loan has been removed, which is the credit score, right? The person only needs to be deemed an employee in good standing, and they have to be 1 year. And that good standing is dictated by the employer, not by Evans, not by United Way.
Okay.
It's the very employer who says this employee is in good standing. And as long as that's there, then the loan is going to happen. So now, once you're inside, now all of that magic of having a banker and having a bank relationship now can start to happen. That's what's important to me. You know, I always have access to the loan data. And when I hear 725 loans, I think, okay, that's great. But it's 725 times.
Correct. People.
That people interact with another professional at the bank. And they are starting to build relationships. Generational wealth, you see, is a two-sided coin. On the one side, it's about money, right? So ALICE and Asset Limited is about transportation and housing. So on the one side, you've got that, right? The money, the 401k, all the things you think about. But that other side of the coin of generational wealth for us at United Way is about, can we disrupt family pathologies? Can we prevent, so thinking about gambling, right? Mm-hmm. Can we prevent this gambling problem from ruining this family? That too is generational wealth. So always a two-sided coin. Many times people come in, they ask for the loan, But after they speak to the resource coordinator, it's actually not the loan you need. It's maybe something different, right? And so we give you access and information about, you know, free services and programs that you may be eligible for, you didn't think about. If you think about the things that you're seeing on the news since COVID, a lot of folks are first time at food banks and other, you know, safety net sort of places, right? So they don't have, they don't know because they've never had to, or this is the first time something has happened to them. So it is truly, Work-Life Solutions is a different kind of safety net, but a safety net nonetheless.
And it's every one of these loans comes with a free savings account. That is, again, another transformative piece of the pie, because you now have this savings account. Money's going in every paycheck, and you're thinking to yourself, hey, I didn't miss that $10 or that $20. I can keep that going in. And we now have $85,000, Jay, in these accounts that people have maintained after they paid their loan back to say, I'm going to still keep money going in there. And that's, you know, that's a huge pile of funds. And if you think about the difference in some, everything from, you know, natural disasters to people's ability to kind of, you know, deal with everything from, you know, family disasters and family issues. Sometimes it's a small amount of money that makes a difference between we're being able to get out of that crisis, right? And so if you now have a safety net or an umbrella, you know, you now have that rainy day fund that people might not have had before, that really makes a huge difference. So that piece of that pie to now have these savings accounts for folks who might not have had one is a big piece of what we're excited about.
Stay with us. There's more to come. This is What's Next on WBFO.
Did you know that WNED PBS is always working on great new local shows for you to watch? Documentaries like Klein Hand's Gift to Buffalo, which tells the story of Buffalo's Music Hall.
The hall is very intimate, and that intimacy makes everyone who comes in here feel a part of our family.
Fun and educational series like Compact Science.
Believe it or not, peppers are technically fruits.
And Shakespeare's greatest hits featuring some of his best-known soliloquies and monologues.
We are such stuff as dreams are made of.
You can watch them all on our website at wned.org/local shows. While you're there, check out the show pages and mini websites for additional content such as bonus features, photo galleries, and lesson plans. Find it all at wned.org/local shows.
Join WBFO every Saturday at 6 p.m. for an insightful and enlightening series of audio documentaries from our region that tackle topics such as the environment, health, the world of entertainment, and more. Listen to the WBFO DocuHour every Saturday at 6 p.m. right here on WBFO, your NPR station.
Hi, I'm Christina. I love exploring the world around me, and I have behind-the-scenes VIP tickets to some of the most exciting places and people in Western New York, and you can come along with me from wherever you are. Let's go! A new series you can watch on WNED PBS, the Buffalo Toronto Public Media YouTube channel, and on PBS Learning Media nationwide.
So let's go, let's go, let's go, let's go, let's go!
You're listening to What's Next, our place to discuss the important issues of our communities of Western New York and Southern Ontario. We want to hear from you. Click on the Talk to Us option in the WBFO app, and we will work to get your questions or comments on the air. Do you have a story or concern that we should be addressing? Email us using whatsnext@wbfo.org. Together, we'll have the conversations that are needed. This is WBFO, your NPR station.
We're talking today on What's Next with Kathy Rizzo-Young from Evans Bank and also Trina Burris, the president and CEO of United Way of Buffalo and Erie County. We're talking about their Work-Life Solutions program. I'm interested to find out a little bit more about the resource counselors and how much can they advocate inside the employer for the employees. I mean, we talked about how they can connect to a lot of different opportunities or resources in the community, but can they? Do they have an ability to advocate on behalf of the employee who's bringing their issues to them but not going to human resources?
So there's a fine line.
Sure.
And each employer, it's a little different depending on what the partnership is with the employer. So a critical part of the relationship with the resource coordinator is there is confidentiality first and foremost.
All right.
So the resource coordinator never goes to the HR department and says, just so you know, you know,
okay.
It's not that.
Gotcha.
The way the advocacy happens is that quarterly, the resource coordinator and the program manager at United Way, they sit down with the CEO and the head of HR and they talk about data.
All right.
And so they might say to the employer, we've served X number of your employees over the course of this quarter. And here are some of the issues that they are dealing with. And we, again, it's not about specificity of the issues. We try to make them in big buckets, right? So we'll say housing instability. We won't say one of your employees is homeless,
mm-hmm.
right?
Mm-hmm.
So we're trying to advocate, to use your word, we're trying to draw a picture for the employer to let them know, listen, your employees have a lot going on, right? And so, but on the other hand, at some employers, the employers are so embedded in work-life solutions that if they have an employee that's in HR for the typical reasons employee would be interacting with HR, the HR department will say, you need to go and talk to one of the resource coordinators if it is that, you know, there are issues going on outside.
Right.
So we don't just want, because employers pay for this service,
right?
We don't just want employers who are just writing a check and expecting that the program sits on the shelf. It's not a sit on the shelf kind mm-hmm. of program, right? It's the hands on, it's the sports car, right? Like
yeah.
you want it to perform. So those employers who are very highly engaged beyond just having written the check, that is where the advocacy takes place.
I do. It's interesting. I have a story about that, which was an employer who signed up for the program the first year. And the reason that he signed up for it was he said, I think of my employees as my kids, as my extended family. And I don't like my kids to rent. I want my kids to be homeowners and build their assets. And so he said, I want to get my employees to be homeowners. So I think this program will help them do that. And so he was very upfront with us. We said, well, you know, we offer a homeownership training as part of, you know, some of our financial education classes. But when we asked, you know, the employees what they want, their needs were so basic. And when we gave him the first assessment of the people that we had seen at his company and the kinds of issues they were dealing with, to Trina's point, just as Rod did, you know, just saying, here's the number.
Okay.
He got all teared up. He said, I brought you in here thinking my people needed housing. And he said, and these are the issues they're dealing with every day when they come in with a smile on their face.
Mm.
He said, and I thought I was this engaged boss who, you know, was friends with my staff and knew everything. And he said, I was absolutely clueless of the level of things, the trauma, the things they were dealing with on an everyday basis, because they come in and they do their work and they're so dedicated to the company. And it was an aha moment for him to say, I was clueless. I was clueless. So now they have this resource. They have someone to help them. And it was, you know, it was really eye-opening. And he's been a wonderful advocate for the program, telling other CEOs, you know, you might think you know your folks and you might think you know what they need. But, you know, if you're like me, you really don't know. There's a wall there. There's a wall.
Yes.
Yeah, that's, you know, I mean, you use the statistic, the ALIS statistic, 40% of the community
falls
into that category. So that's, you know, probably in every workplace.
It's every workplace ever. Because, Jay, if you we put maps up in the United Way building, because we never want to forget. And we always want anybody who's walking into our building to have the recognition of the fact. So this map is of Erie County, and it shows all over the county the different communities and what their ALIS population is.
Hmm.
Well, if you've got a county-wide number like 40%, it's mathematically impossible that there's not Alice in every single community, regardless of how affluent the community
right.
may be. And there's no place where it's single digits. Every place it's statistically significant. Is it higher in the city? Is it higher in the rural communities? Sure. But it's high in Orchard Park, too.
Wow.
It's high everywhere. Because, again, if you're living, literally if you are living,
right.
you are going to experience something. Right, despite your best efforts. And with Alice, again, we cannot emphasize enough, these are folks with good jobs. Right. So it's not simply about, you know, what the employee not making enough money. It's not a one-dimensional problem. It's a multi-dimensional problem. And there are many people in our communities that are facing it.
One of the things that Trina did with the program in order to evolve it was after 514. And do you want to talk about kind of the response to that and how that really changed Work-Life Solutions forever, really?
It did. So remember I talked about, you know, United Way is always thinking about things and sitting things on the shelf. Well, after 514 and after the blizzard, sort of sandwiched in between those two things, we started to really become concerned about the pressure being faced by nonprofit workers. Mm. You know, these are the folks that are in it every day. You know, they're working on helping whatever aspect of the community that they are. Very often they are part of the community, so they're dealing with their own trauma connected to whatever the thing is. And we knew that Work-Life Solutions would be a good component for them, that it would be helpful. But again, you pay for it, right? And so we were concerned, you know, how can we make this so nonprofit organizations can be part of Work-Life Solutions? So it was sitting on the shelf, it was a wish list, we were sort of figuring it out. Then the blizzard hits. We decided to start a community resilience fund so that we could get money out to help people in the immediate, because Alice can't afford anything to go wrong. Everything has got to be in mm-hmm. lockstep, right? Blizzards are not good for that. And so we were approached by National Grid, and they were concerned about the community and they wanted to, you know, be a contributor of the resilience program. But they said one thing that was interesting to us. They said, you know, we're really concerned about mental health in the community. And we said, ding, 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 ding. We can bring Work-Life Solutions off the shelf and help nonprofits. And so we spoke to them about this. And we said, you know, we want to be able to sponsor or scholarship nonprofits into Work-Life. And so they nodded. And, you know, I'm happy to say that we have been able to scholarship 7 nonprofits based on this investment. And guess what? People that work in the nonprofit sector need access to information, financial education. And every once in a while, the problem gets fixed with money.
Right. Right.
They're so busy taking care of everyone else. Right. And we saw that during COVID as well, because what was interesting during COVID was, if you think about the employers that we have as part of Work-Life Solutions, we have manufacturing. They didn't shut down. They were essential workers. We have nursing homes, essential workers, right?
Banks.
We had all these people who are essential workers who didn't, you know, COVID, you know, expected them to keep going to work. But there was need there. And so we even had new employers that joined during COVID to say, I know you can't come into my building, but can we do this? Can we work it out in such a way? So that's when we evolved into kind of the hybrid and virtual models to say, yeah, of course we can help you. Because I've got a 24/7 workforce. I've got people who are, you know, looking for things like childcare. Well, yes, there was childcare provided during COVID, but you had to know how to access it, right? You needed the resource coordinator to connect you. So we've really kind of been, the program, I think that's what we're most proud of, is the way it's evolved with every kind of issue that's come up. How can we continue to keep it fresh and keep it responsive so that we're continuing to not only meet community needs, but almost predict them?
Yeah, anticipate them.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I'm wondering if you, either of you, have some sort of an anecdote about this. I'm thinking, you know, as you were mentioning before, income might not be the problem for an employee, right? And when it comes to Work-Life Solutions. And I also think about when it comes to problems, sometimes I think internally, as individuals, we keep those things to ourselves and they become larger than life in their own way. I'm wondering if from your counselors, if you've heard just, you know, somebody who's enjoyed a major change mm-hmm. just because they were able to find a place inside their life, which is their workplace, where they could say, I've got an issue with this, and all of a sudden, maybe that problem was a huge problem, but was something that was dealt with relatively easy.
Yeah, I'll tell one thing, which is if your listeners go to the Work-Life Solutions website, you will see a link, and it was also embedded in the Buffalo News story. FINRA, who oversees these programs nationally, who wants to encourage kind of this this kind of financial support at the workplace, they did a video for us, which is every time people see it, you know, there's not a dry eye in the house. And it's a divorced dad who's basically saying, I don't have a car. My son lives two counties away. He's a preteen. I don't want to lose my relationship with him. And how Work Life Solutions helped him to get that access to him, to be able to financially get himself back in gear so that he could then, you know, have transportation to get to see his son and keep that relationship going. It's so moving. And then they also talk to a young woman who says, you know, there was a lot going on in my life. I just felt like that, you know, my mental health was deteriorating. But now, you know, I have counseling. I've been connected with resources. She's like, I think humming and singing through the whole video. She's like the happiest person in her workplace. And she's like, this totally changed my whole persona. So I think one of the things is we've had situations with evictions. We've had situations where, you know, people have really gotten out of very difficult situations through Work Life Solutions, where our coordinators have gotten them assistance and gotten them kind of safety and haven. I think one of the things is the immediate need around, you know, not only, as Trina said, not only it's like the $1,000, you know, is a huge help, but also, you know, what are the resources that are available to you in the community and how can you be helped? So we've had situations where people have come in to say, oh my gosh, thank you so much. This changed my life, where they've told their employer, you know, thank you so much. This program is so meaningful to me. I mean, I think everything from the kinds of situations with a family member, you know, people are always faced with things like, you know, unfortunately, accidents or sudden deaths of family members, where people are just at a loss of how to deal with things. And Work Life Solutions, I get this image of them, they kind of swoop in, mm-hmm. right? They kind of swoop in with this safety net to say, it's going to be okay. We're going to connect you. We're going to, you know, and whereas an employer says, I've got somebody in crisis. Can you help them? It's just the image of saying to somebody, we're going to help you now. We're going to keep with you. We're going to stay with you throughout. We're going to make sure that everything is resolved. And, you know, those are just such important relationships.
For sure.
You also, I think you use the terms, you have to kind of anticipate community needs to a certain extent. Mm-hmm. So you're in a good place to talk about it, or maybe you don't want to talk about it, but I'm curious, you know, anticipating needs. What's kind of on the radar right now?
So right now what we're thinking about with Work Life Solutions is how can we expand the program, not in terms of just adding employers and more employees, right, which is important to do, but how can we add value, and what kind of data are we seeing in other places in our work that'll point what we should be doing next?
Okay.
So we're thinking about, can we bring fresh fruits and vegetables to the employer sites? Can we have this amazing series that we did called You Belong, where community members are coming in and reading books, and we put it up on our YouTube channel, right? And the beauty of that is that if your parent is working two jobs, they may not have time to read the book, right?
Right.
But even my 3-year-old granddaughter can pick up her laptop or her tablet and watch whatever she wants to watch, right? And so we're there to read the book, right? And so we're saying, can we bring books for employees to be able to take home to their children, so that they, you know, they create a library at home, because we understand the importance of reading and education. And we're also thinking about, so remember with the loan, the key is you have to be 1 year and an employee in good standing. Well, the most vulnerable time in the life of an employee is that first year.
Right.
Because you've got a probationary period. Now with people working remotely, maybe you haven't developed relationships and all this stuff. So there's a vulnerability in that first year. Well, because you're not eligible for the loan, we don't have a way right now to respond if the real issue is just cash. You just need $1,000. So we're thinking, how can we bring our community resilience program into Work Life to help in that 1 year, so that if it is about repairing your tires so that you can get to work, can we give you a grant for $1,000? Or, you know, can we figure out a way by talking with our friends here at the bank? How can we, you know, have people repay it so that we always have the slush fund, you know, that kind of thing. So we don't, anything we do at United Way is not siloed. We see our work as being interdependent. And so, you know, so we're learning things in other places and we're saying, oh, well, this is probably something in Work-Life Solutions too. We should think about that.
Yeah, I think one of the things is, too, as you look at what's happening in employment right now and how employers are desperate to find and keep good people.
Absolutely.
And they want that advantage of, like, what's the extra thing that we can do?
Right? Looking for the edge.
What's the edge? What are we going to provide for our employees? That I think has been very, very much to the benefit of Work-Life Solutions, where people are looking for creative additions to their employee benefits program. And this is about as creative as you can get, right?
Right.
It really is, to say, wait a minute, we offer this program. And we've had people say, you know, well, I got a job offer, but the company I interviewed for doesn't have Work-Life Solutions. Honestly, that's how important this program becomes to people,
right,
is that they really think this is something that's really important to me and my family. So, you know, I think one of the things we thought about when we need to talk about to you about today is, you know, we always say to CEOs, you know, look into this program and check it out. But also, I guess we would encourage the average employee to say, if you don't have this program at your workplace, maybe ask about it, or maybe ask your HR department to look into it. The cost is very manageable, and it's something that allows the employer to really demonstrate a level of commitment to their employees that's really, really above the norm.
Mm-hmm. You've talked to the CEOs or people who are leading these companies. I'm not necessarily wondering about their objections, but just, you know, the questions that they have. Obviously, you're probably trying to recruit as many employers as you can. Not everybody's signing on just yet. But, you know, how does that conversation go? What are we hearing?
So there's usually two things that employers question or maybe even object, you know, that we have to talk through. One is, we are very easily compared to EAP.
Okay.
It is not EAP.
Okay.
Right? If you go back to that example I gave about my own leadership journey, I never once told somebody you should call EAP.
Right.
And it's not because it's not good or that they don't help people, because they do. But it's something that sort of sits on the shelf. It's a poster on your wall.
The 1-800 number in California.
The 1-800 number, right? So you call somebody, you know, you call EAP and it's 518, right? Or it's December 25th, 2022. Right. They don't know what you're talking about.
That's right.
When you say 514, because it's Work-Life Solutions, and it's because it's your local United Way, when you say those, when you say those words, they have meaning. And then you don't have to talk a lot more, right? Because we get it, because we're part of the community. So there's usually that. And we say, your resource coordinator will always be familiar with your benefits. And that includes EAP if that's part of your benefits.
Okay.
The other thing is that there are many employers out here who think they have the best in class gold standard for benefits. That their employees, they have an open door policy, right? I have an open door policy. You know, there are some employees that use that more than others, but for the vast majority of my employees, despite the fact I have an open door policy, there's probably a significant number of employees that have never been in my office at all, period, for anything.
Right.
Right. And so there are employers out there who will provide emergency cash assistance to their employees and, you know, all these things, which is great. However, even if you could provide, and I have a willingness to provide emergency cash assistance, and even if your employee feels comfortable coming to say, I'm getting ready to be evicted, even if all those things are true, what the employer doesn't have the ability to do is help with financial wellness or financial stability. They don't have that ability despite their best efforts. You can give somebody the emergency cash that will help right then in that moment, but that does not give you a 150 point increase in your credit score.
That's right.
Now you can walk into a bank and say, I want to be a first time home buyer, or I want to whatever.
It doesn't get them any further along.
Doesn't move them along.
I think the only other thing that we found when we do presentations, because we do these a lot for prospective employers, the one reason I would say why someone doesn't join the program is because they have locations outside of Western New York and they want to make sure they're treating everybody the same. So if they say, we can't offer this just to our Buffalo employees, if we can't offer it in, you know, our Massachusetts, whatever it is, I think that's probably the number one thing
is they
want it to be consistent. You know, they want to make sure they do a great program here in Buffalo like this and they offer to it. And then the people in the other cities are like, hey, you know, we want the same kinds of benefits.
Well, they should move to Buffalo.
Exactly
well,
right.
They should.
Bring all their employees here. That's right.
They should.
We've used the term and resource counselor, but we haven't really talked about, and I know there's a lot of confidentiality here, but the type of person or people that are filling these roles, they sound like they carry a heavy load.
They're great folks.
Yeah.
There's three of them, so they're a small team, but they are mighty. They have interesting backgrounds. One person has sort of a social work nonprofit background. Another person has a nonprofit background. Another person is also a retired banker that has some nonprofit background. So they have very interesting collective life experiences. There are two men and one woman. And so, you know, because they're able to work as a team and they sit right there together, you know, if there were someone, despite the fact one resource coordinator may be assigned to one very specific employer, if it is that there's a client that would feel more comfortable speaking to a woman or somebody be more comfortable speaking to a man, the diversity in the team is there so we can respond, you know, any way we need to. And so, you know, we're just proud of the program. We're just proud of the program. We're proud of the work. It really helps us to understand the role, our role as United Way. And it's a role that a lot of people in the community don't know about us.
Yeah.
Right? They don't think of us.
When you think about United Way in the workplace, you don't think about this,
no.
Right?
That's not what you think about.
No, it's running away from that little card that's in your mailbox.
That's right.
And this is a game changer. The companies and the employers that have this program think very differently about the United Way. The United Way is helping me in my life every day. Like, it's just a different paradigm. So for United Way to not only what we were excited about at Evans about this program was because United Way is now, you know, has a fee for service program. Somebody, an employer is writing a check to United Way. That's a different kind of revenue stream for them, which we loved.
Sure.
But also because it changed the way people thought about United Way. They thought about United Way now as the answer to their issues. And we, like, that's the thing we're so proud of, is that it helps people think about the organization. I'm a board member of United Way, and as a board member, I'm excited by that, to have people think about United Way in this new way as the solution to what's happening in their lives. That's, you know, that's really huge.
What about, we've got 13 employers right now?
13 right now. Mm-hmm.
And I'm sure you're actively looking for more.
For sure.
How do you make that connection? Maybe there's an employer who's listening right now.
That would be great.
That would be fantastic. So there's a work-life solutions link on our United Way website, the uwbec.org website. You can call the United Way. If there is someone in your company that's affiliated with United Way, they can send us an email. And it's a program we love to talk about.
I can say from the standpoint of Evans, you know, we've been around over 100 years, and our CEO and our company, we're so proud of our involvement with this program. You know, he often says, like, this is the best thing I think we've done from a philanthropy standpoint, from a community standpoint. You know, it just combines everything. It combines financial wherewithal and wealth building, and, you know, bringing things into the workplace that help people persist and help them keep their jobs. And so on so many different points, it's just, it's such a marvelous program. And we're, you know, we love talking about it. As you can tell, it's our favorite subject.
Yes, you've made this a very easy hour.
We can talk about it all day.
Yeah, we really can. But it, that's the great news about it, is that as it's grown, you know, every month there's something new that's, you know, kind of shows itself to be another great aspect of the program, another benefit of it.
Well, I really appreciate hearing more about it. It's always exciting to hear people getting connected to, like you said, 7,000 nonprofits in this community, and most people don't know all the opportunities that are out there that can really benefit them and their lives and their friends and family as well. Thank you very much for joining us. Kathy Rizzo-Young, the Community and Public Relations Director for Evans Bank, thanks for being with us.
Thank you.
And Trina Burris, President and CEO of the United Way of Buffalo and Erie County, thank you for being with us.
Thank you for having me.
And this has been What's Next on WBFO.